We have been in Ephesians chapter 4. We left off in verse 14. We'll pick up with that. But a couple of things I wanted to share with you this morning as we continue our study. We were early on in the study and we were looking at the fact that the church is the body of Christ, right? And the body has one head, and that's Christ. And we'll talk more about this later on, but realizing that the head is the one who gets to decide what's going on, okay? I don't know if you've seen in the news or not lately, but there's been a lot of stuff that's been focusing on abortion and also on the gay pride stuff that's going on. And I thought I'd share with you a couple of articles here. I won't read the whole thing, but just to give you the gist of what's being said. The first one, the headline is, Rhode Island Bishop facing backlash for tweeting Catholics, quote, should not support Pride Month events. Okay? So this Roman Catholic bishop from Rhode Island said that he was labeling LGBTQ Pride Month events as, quote, especially harmful for children, unquote, and arguing that those who follow the faith should not support them. Okay? Now, you and I would look at that and go, well, yeah, we agree with that. Even though I don't agree with the tenets of the Catholic Church, they're basing this on God's teachings, okay? And they're staying on this. But he has received a hostile response to that, and he says, well, first of all, his response to some of the things that people are saying, he said he regretted that his comments turned out to be so controversial in our community and offensive to some, especially the gay community. That certainly was not my intention, but I understand why a good number of individuals have taken offense. I also acknowledge and appreciate the widespread support I have received on this matter. So, you know, I don't want to offend people. I'm sorry I offended people. I don't really want to offend people either, but you know what? God's word is word. And I'm not going to apologize for teaching the truth, okay? He said the Catholic Church has respect and love for members of the gay community, as do I. As a Catholic bishop, however, my obligation before God is to lead the faithful entrusted to my care and to teach the faith, clearly and compassionately, even on very difficult and sensitive issues. So, you know, I think that's a good statement. You know, he's wanting to stand on the truth. But the this person that is the president of Rhode Island Pride told the news that LGBTQ community has a number of Catholic supporters in the area. And here's a quote. There are Catholics all across Rhode Island who support the LGBTQIA plus community. I don't know what IA is. I haven't come on to that one. That's the first one. And I honestly think that it's shameful that Bishop Tobin is resorting to these attacks on the first day of Pride Month. Okay? Pride isn't harmful. Love is not harmful. Okay? He told the Boston Globe that he was flabbergasted by Tobin's statements and found his assertion that pride events are harmful to children especially offensive given the Catholic Church's history of rampant child abuse. Well, you know, the rampant child abuse is well documented, but one doesn't have anything to do with the other. Okay? And to use one to justify the behavior of another is equally offensive as far as I'm concerned. But my point here is just to show that this is, you know, if you just kind of generally broadly say, okay, this is the message of God that these people are trying to give, the Catholic Church. Again, I don't always agree with all of their tenets and so forth, but they're at least trying to stand on, you know, the truth of God's word on this issue, and people responding, saying, you know, there are Catholics all over who support the LGBTQIA+ community. The other article, the headline of this one, And this is something that has come about over, I've seen it, it's been kind of brewing for a while. Politicians are being singled out, and mostly, although not all, but mostly Democratic politicians, because of their widespread support of abortion. Okay? And two who are very prominent in the leadership of the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, who are both Catholics. All right? And the Catholic Church, the bishops have said, you know, hey, they're looking at, are they going to deny them receiving communion because of their stance on abortion? All right? And Nancy Pelosi says, quote, I can use my own judgment on that. Okay? She says, I think I can use my own judgment on that, but I'm pleased with what the Vatican put out on that subject. It basically says, don't be divisive on the subject. Well, what she's saying is that the head of the Vatican's doctrine office issued a warning to the conference of the Catholic bishops to deliberate carefully to avoid sowing division, and deliberate carefully on whether or not they're going to refuse these people, you know, from receiving communion. He says, this Cardinal Louis Ladera says in a letter to them that any new policy requires that dialogue occurs in two stages. First among the bishops themselves, and then between bishops and Catholic pro-choice politicians within their jurisdictions. So we've got to have dialogue with people who are basically going against God's word, and we need to make policy based on the dialogue that we have between us and them. Wait a minute, if Jesus is the head of the church, did he not already say that that's murder? Okay? Why do we need to have dialogue here? You see? And again, my point in bringing this out is we've been talking about and studying that, you know, Jesus is the head of the church. There's only one head. Okay? That he has decided those matters already. End of discussion. You see? If we really acknowledge him as being head of the church, then there is no new policy needs to be decided. He's already decided the policy on those things. You know, again, we need to be, and take that with any other issue, okay? These I pointed out simply because there just seems to be this blatant, I don't really care what it says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. We need to be real careful that we don't fall into that trap on anything that God says. You see? Christ is the head of the church. What he says is final. Okay? And it doesn't matter what we want or, you know, how many people believe this or that or want to do this or that or what have you. He's already spoken on the issue. Again, just to realize that as we go about trying to do what God wants to do, we need to understand that there are so many people out here that refer to themselves as Christians who this is their mindset. You see? That they can do what they want to do, what they decide, they can handle it, and whatever the case may be, rather than submitting to the Lordship of Jesus as head of the body. So, having said that, now let's look at this last section, this next section here in chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Now, last week we were looking at what Paul said about appointing, that he's appointed certain people for different jobs and different tasks, apostles, evangelists, teachers, pastors, and so forth. And the reason for that, he says, is to prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that's the task and the goal. He's given these kinds of people to help build up the church, to teach and to build up the church. The conclusion then, or the result of that kind of building up and preparing then, begins in verse 14. Then, okay? In other words, when that's happening, when the teaching is going on, okay? okay? The preparation is being made and given to prepare people for works of service, and we're growing to maturity. Then the result will be that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. And that's what's going on concerning these issues and these articles that I just read about. You've got people that are scheming and they're deceitful and so on and so forth. And you've got too many people, too many who call themselves Christians, who are being taken in by that and are accepting it. And not only accepting it, but supporting it. You say, they are being tossed back and forth by the waves, and they are being blown here and there by every wind of teaching. That's what's happening, okay, to those who call themselves Christians today. Widespread happening. Right? And I think that primarily the reason that's happening the way that it is because those who've been leaders in the churches have not been teaching correctly. They've not been preparing the people to grow to maturity and accepting Christ as the head of the church and doing what he says to do. That hasn't been going on. Okay? And the result is that people are falling for whatever somebody comes along and tells them, oh, here's, this is okay, this is okay. When God has already said, no, it's not okay. Right? And by the way, you know, I read these two articles, one about abortion, the other about the LGBTQ whatever situation, the gay stuff. But we can say the same thing about adultery and fornication, which are widespread in the Lord's church. Okay? That people are just accepting those things as that's the way people live today. And it's normal. Right? And we need to be able to stand and say, no, it's not acceptable to God. Judy?
Well, I think it's these groups, whether it's the LGBT, whatever it is, or they're getting blasted out into the world so much. It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
When you look out in the world. So if you're not prepared to stand against, you will fall. You will go in with it. Because they make it sound so
loving.
Loving.
You know, we're accepting everybody.
You know, and we think we can love each other and all of it. You will fall for it if you're not prepared for it.
Exactly.
I mean, every time you turn the TV on, that's all you get. That's all you get, whether it's in movies, whether it's in documentaries, whether it's in talk shows. It's there constantly.
Yes. Sesame Street. It's on the news this morning. Sesame Street has introduced two gay men to their lineup of cast members in their programming.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, this stuff is, to them, it's just normal and there's nothing wrong with it. And anybody who disagrees with them and doesn't support them in that is a hate person, you know, a homophobe and all those other things. No, I'm just a Christian who believes what God says, you see. But my point here is, this is exactly what Paul is talking about here. We need to be prepared, okay, and the way we're prepared is through the teachings and so forth, so that we are strong enough to be able to see through the lies, or as he says here, the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. And that goes back to what we've been saying all along, the importance of us knowing what God's Word says and accepting and believing what God says in His Word. He is the head of the body, the church. So He gets to decide what's right and what's wrong, not us. But it's up to us to make sure we know what He says. All right? So that we are not easily, you know, deceived and so forth by someone coming along and telling us otherwise. Judy?
They had just on a talk show, I guess about 2 days ago, a guy that said that the churches all are preaching hate against them. When, in, you know, saying that you are going to go to hell, God doesn't love you, when in fact, God loves gay people.
Yes.
And I'm standing there and I'm saying, what? These talk show hosts make it look like, yeah, this is the way it is, you know. We need to be prepared, people.
Right. Well, the deceitful scheming part of that is that, yes, I believe that God loves gay people. He loves everybody.
Yeah, but not okay? The way that
But that doesn't mean that he's not going to punish them for their behavior.
Exactly.
Okay? God doesn't stop loving people because they fall into sin. That's why he sent his son. So, yes, God loves everybody. But he's not going to save everybody, and those who live in disobedience to him are going to be lost. That's the real message.
Yes.
But you see, the scheming part is, oh, you're saying that God, you're spreading, hey, you're saying God doesn't love people. And I'm not saying that at all. I say just the opposite. He does love them, but he doesn't accept their behavior. You see? And so we need to be able to stand, you know, on that, on, again, the truth of the message. The Bible makes it very clear God is love, and he loves everyone. Okay? But it also makes it clear that not everyone's going to be saved because they're living in disobedience to God.
Well, see, that's what he was trying, the point he was trying to make.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, I can continue in the sinful way that I get because God loves gay people.
Yeah, because God loves me.
Not just that God loves me, but he loves gay people.
Right.
You know, and make it sound like it's acceptable to God that I, in this, you know, sinful behavior.
Right. Well, the deceitful scheming part of that is that the conclusion they draw is God loves everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, including gay people, which is true.
Yeah.
Okay? But then where they go from that is because God loves everybody, we're still going to be saved, and he accepts us as we are.
Exactly.
That's the deceitful part of it, you say. And again, we have to understand and realize that, yes, indeed, God does love gay people. But he wants them to be saved. He wants them to repent of their behavior so they can be saved. Otherwise, he will punish them.
Well, he in fact went to the point saying that he has developed his own spiritual communication with God, relationship with God. And I'm saying, in a way it didn't make no sense. At least to me it did.
Well, again, that's the deceitful scheming that Paul's talking about here. Chuck?
Yeah, God loved us even in our sin. I mean,
yes.
He died while we were sinners. He died, Jesus died for us. But it's, if Jesus is the head, then you have to listen to him. And what he said was, I love you. I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. Now, do you love me? That's always the question.
Yeah.
The question is, do you love Jesus? Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll listen to me.
Yeah.
You'll do what I say. That's the point. So, yeah, God loved me until I gave myself to him, you know, through Christ.
See, if we turn that around on these folks and say, okay, well, does God love murderers? Okay, well, see, many of them would say no, because they're evil people. Okay, so no, God doesn't love them. Well, that's wrong. God does love them. He wants them to repent just like everybody else so that they're not lost, you see? So the behavior is not the determining factor whether God loves someone. Okay? God loves everybody. He always has, always will. He doesn't take his love away from even from those who are living in sin. Okay? But that love that he has does not translate into them being saved simply because he loves them. And people that kind of follow this line of thinking are like, well, some things are okay for people to do and God because God loves them, and it's okay, but other things, they'll draw a line of distinction. Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not acceptable, so God can't love people like that. You see? And that's simply not true. Again, the distinction is, he still loves them, but does that mean they're not going to be punished?
How much does talk so rough? and it was dealing with gay people. Mm-hmm. And this woman come on stage, and the way she started off was, I'm a gay woman, and I'm a Christian. And I almost came this close to turning it off. And so she had this big old lecture, but basically what it came down to was, she said, I identify as gay, but because I want to obey Christ's word, I abstain from my sinful behavior.
Okay.
And she said, and every gay person, if they truly want to follow Christ, can do the same.
Exactly.
Well, she had a whole big, I mean, it was a whole big thing that she had on this, and I had to commend her for that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that she's right. You know, okay, I have this struggle, then I need to stop doing it because I recognize, obviously, she said, the sinful behavior.
Yeah.
I know it's sinful. It doesn't please God, so it's something I want to do, but I can't do it because I know it's not pleasing to God. That should be the same with everything, you know, that's out there. You know, but again, we can't pick and choose which things that God has to accept and which things he doesn't. He's already told us.
Well,
right?
It's the same for us. I mean, any sinful behavior that we have, we have to abstain from it.
Yeah.
And get away from it in order to be acceptable to God.
And
it's the same with her.
Right. And so here, Paul, this is the kind of thing that he's talking about, is in the society where, you know, and again, when I say society, I'm talking about the religious community of Christianity today, in the broad sense of that name, of that word, that are accepting, you know, all these different teachings, and they're being deceived by the cunning and craftiness. Of people telling them that these things are okay when they're really not. So what he's saying here is, when we are prepared, okay, when we're being taught, we're learning, we're prepared, all right, then we're not going to fall into those traps, okay? But then he goes on further, all right, and he says, instead, look at verse 15, instead of falling to the scheming and so forth of those who are going to teach these things, instead, look at the next statement. What?
Speaking the truth in love.
Okay? Speaking the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So, you know, when people talk about that, you know, if you're telling people that homosexuality is sinful, then you're full of hate. No. Paul here is saying, when we're doing that, we're speaking the truth in love, okay? Now, we need to make sure that we're doing that, all right? Are we really speaking the truth in love? Do we love this person, and we're truly concerned about their eternal soul, or are we just being mean? And there are those who, you know, some that are really being mean and nasty about it and the way that they go about it. We need to be doing it in love. We need to tell people the truth, but we need to do it in love. And when you tell people the truth, that is love. You're not doing them any favors by going along with the lies they're believing. You see? You're a coward, really, if you're not willing to tell people what they need to hear instead of what they want to hear, because of what they might think or do or say or whatever else the case may be. We need to speak the truth in love. Chuck, get your hand up.
Again, the point for all of us is that the scriptures is God's word, and we lead them to the scriptures. It's not what I say.
Exactly.
Let me show you what is written in scripture, which is God's inspired word. Let's go there.
Right.
Read it for yourself. And so today, with the advantage of having a Bible in your phone, you can do that. Do the search and say, "Let's read this here together." And yes, it is the truth. But the truth will set you free.
Right.
And a lot of people can understand that, even though it may be uncomfortable.
Right.
But nonetheless, it is the truth, and that's why it is what it is. It will set you free. And again, we know that Christ did not come into the world to bring peace.
Exactly.
And we need to understand that. And it may be foreign to us, but God said it. Jesus said it. If you love your mother, father, or anything else more than me, you are not worthy of me. there it is. And then, of course, a lot of people say, well, that's not love. Love is obeying and following and fulfilling what he wants us to do. Why? He gave us life. Nobody else. Nobody else. See, your mother may have been involved with your birth, but who gave us life and still provides for us to this very day? It is our God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, the other part of this is to understand that it's not our message.
Correct.
It's God's message.
Correct.
We're right. Just the messengers, okay?
Exactly.
So you can take out your phone or whatever and point out to you and say, look, I'm not the one who's telling you this. God's the one who's telling you that. It's right here in his word. You see? So you're not rejecting me.
Correct.
You're rejecting his word here if you don't accept this. Okay? The head of the church. You claim to belong to Christ. You belong to the church. Well, you're not following the head according to what he's saying here. You see? And he points that out in here. Again, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Okay? So again, he's the head. All I'm doing is telling you what he said. Okay? I don't make any apologies for delivering that message. Okay? But it's not my message. It's his.
We didn't write it.
Exactly.
I didn't write this. God did from the very beginning because he knew that we will need this now.
Exactly.
You need this information. And oh, by the way, you may have heard about a city called Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Shall we let's go look in the scriptures about that and see what happened to them.
Yeah. Judy?
Well, I think, and I mean, I might be wrong, but I think people like this take part of the scriptures that they like and leave out the other part. And in our lesson today, when you go back to verse 13, it gives you the reason for this. You know, if you're not grounded in the truth of God's word, you're going to do this. But if you would really know it and understand it, but see, then they have to convict their own selves.
Right. Yeah. And our job is just to pass the message on.
Yeah.
It's not to try to make them do something different. Kathy?
Well, along with that, you know, passing the word along, we've got to know what we're passing. Like Judy was saying, I wanted to touch on what she said. We're going to know in the faith knowledge of the Son of God and become mature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. A key word right there. And then in 14, we will no longer be infants.
Right.
It's our young people that are not seeing us as examples.
Yeah.
That is so important. If we're not speaking it all the time, if we're not living it all the time, oh, we'll make up all kinds of things we can do. Yeah. The next thing, you know, we'll be, I won't even go there, but you know, we have to be the mature ones. We have to live what we preach.
Right.
And in our example, that will draw others to us. Otherwise, we'll be like infants, young people, young Christians, young, you know, no knowledge. Oh, well, if they can do it, I can do it. If they're not doing it, who cares? I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what it comes to. Those two words got to me.
Infant and
mature.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of
what he's really focusing on here is that maturity that we have to have as we're growing up in God's word. And then, as we're growing up and we're maturing, we're not going to be caught up in this kind of stuff, in these false teachings and people that are leading us astray.
Right.
So, you know, again, keeping in mind that who is the one who gets to decide what is right or what's wrong, what's acceptable and what's not? It's Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
What I think about it, it doesn't matter. It's totally irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Because he's already said this is what it is. I have only to make one choice. Either I'm going to believe what he says or I'm not going to believe it. Mm-hmm. Okay? If I'm going to believe it, then I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Because I know, believing him, what's going to happen if I don't? Okay? If I don't believe him, then it doesn't matter what I do. You see? And you fill in the blank in terms of what the issue or the topic is. If you don't believe him, it doesn't matter. You see? Okay, so, we are, we are, uh, we are in all things, we're going to grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. And then look at verse 16. From him, that is from Christ, okay? The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. All right, I want to spend a little bit of time right here so we understand what this is really all about, okay? He's been the same thing. It's the body of Christ, right? The whole body is joined together, okay? And it gets that joining from him, he says, all right? In other words, were it not for Christ, there would be no body, okay? If it were not for Christ, the body would not exist. All right, so the body comes from him. But it is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, okay? And as it does that, it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So there's several things that are implied here, okay? And so, first of all, we have supporting ligaments. Okay? In other words, those parts that are supporting the rest of the body. The reason that I'm able to stand up here in front of you and wave my arms and move my mouth and so forth and speak to you is because I got supporting ligaments. All right? That are working with the rest of my body to allow me to do that. That's how physically the body works. All right? And Paul is using that analogy to help us understand that's how the church works. Okay? There are all kinds of different parts. Now, I asked you last week to spend a little bit of time, I don't know how many of y'all did your homework, to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Anybody do their homework? Bunch of slackers. Okay, look at what Paul says concerning this body. Okay, same body here he's talking about that he's talking about in Ephesians. All right, and how many bodies are there, by the way?
One.
Just one, okay? All right, he says the body, this is in beginning in verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. That's very similar to what we've already seen that he wrote to the Ephesian church, isn't it? Okay? All right. Then he goes to verse 14, and he talks about the body, and specifically about the significance or the importance of the various parts of the body. All right? So, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Okay, so, you know, the point here being that Paul wants to understand that yes, every part of the body is significant and important to the functioning of the body. And we cannot individually look at ourselves and go, oh, I'm not important to this body, so therefore, doesn't matter whether I'm here or not. Okay? Because I'm not this part, then I don't really belong here. No, every part belongs, okay? Why? Because every part is like a supporting ligament, okay, that helps take care of the body, helps the body to do what it needs to do, all right? Look at verse 18. In fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, all right? So whatever part of the body you are, it's because God put you there, all right? That's what he made you. If you're a foot in the body, he made you a foot. If you're a hand, he made you a hand. If you're an eye, he made you a hand. That's where he wanted you to be. All right? And his point is that we need to accept, again, God's design in the body here. All right? And oftentimes what happens within the body, and I use that term in terms of, as we talked about in our study on the church last week, you know, the individual congregation, okay, as the church, that oftentimes people look around and they go, well, you know, I really want to do this, and so if I can't do that, then I'm not gonna do anything. You see? And the reality is that, okay, you're telling God you don't like the place he puts you in the body. Okay, so we need to be very, very careful about that, all right? He says, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, the other flip side of that coin, he goes on to talk about next here, okay? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, all right? And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you, all right? So we can't be, you know, looking at one another and going, because you're not this, you don't really fit in, and we don't really need you. All of the parts of the body are necessary, okay? Now, when it comes to the physical body, there are some parts we don't simply understand. Lynette, in your medical experience, have they figured out what an appendix is for yet? No, still don't know. Okay, we have an appendix, unless you've had it removed, okay? Everybody has an appendix, you're born with one, but we have no idea what it's for. But God does. Okay? God knows why he put it there. He just hadn't revealed that to us yet. Alright? So again, same thing with the body of Christ. We understand there are sometimes there are parts in the body that we look at and go, what's that for? You know, there are people that just seem to, you know, just kind of odd or whatever the case may be. We think, well, you know, where do they fit in? We don't understand. But the fact of the matter is God knows. He knows what their role. He knows why they're there. Okay? And we need to be careful not to, you know, kind of push them aside and go, oh, I think my appendix is bursting. I need to get it out, you know, when it comes to people that maybe we don't understand about them or what have you, you see. Simply because we don't understand doesn't mean they're not there for a reason. Just like our appendix. Okay? And so we don't have the right to say to others, because you're not this, you're not as important, and so we can get along without you. All right? So, you know, all of these things that Paul is talking about concerning the body in that way, that it is a matter of that it's building itself up in love, okay? And then look at the very last thing that he says. As what?
Each part does its work.
Each part does its work, okay? And so it's really vitally important to understand the body is only going to be built up if all of the parts of the body are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Okay? And so if the feet decide, hey, I just don't want to walk today, okay, then the body's not going anywhere.
That's right, because the last part of that in 1 Corinthians was that if one suffers, we all suffer.
Exactly.
And if we rejoice, we all rejoice.
Exactly. Because everything that we're doing, and that's Paul's point in both of these passages, everything that we're doing is for the benefit or the building up of the body. Okay? It is not for ourselves. All right? And it's vitally important that we remember that because, again, we all have a different part or different role to play within the body, and we all need to be doing whatever that role is that God has given us. We need to be doing that. Okay, I think I told y'all before about the preacher was telling me about these. He was doing these lessons on the body of the church and all the different people's roles and the work that each one was simply doing, kind of like what we're talking about. And different people were talking about what they thought was their role or their place in the body. And he had these two older sisters in Christ. They said they were just grinners.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was their job. They were grinners. And it's like, well, what do you mean by grinners? What's a grinner? And he said, they were people who, they invited their friends to come with them to worship, and they'd sit there and grin, because they were able to bring people with them to church. That was their role. And so he referred to them as grinners. See? So if that's what you are, if you're a grinner, okay, then your role is to bring people, invite them to come with you, bring them, and just sit there and grin. Because you were able to convince someone to come and hear the gospel message. You see? So whatever the role is, the point is we need to be fulfilling that role. We need to be doing what he's told us to be doing, or the job that he has given us to do. Keep in mind, as we saw last time, he doesn't give everybody the same role, the same responsibility, the same duties. As he said, he's given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Okay? So we have different jobs, different roles, different parts. And as Paul said, we saw over in 1 Corinthians, that he's arranged those parts as he wanted them to be. So whatever our part is, we need to be fulfilling that part and doing that part's work within the body so that the body is built up. All right? Any other thoughts or comments on that at all? Chuck?
We all need to find what he wants us to do and how to serve him. But me and Holloway were converted close to about the same time. I'll never forget, it was a Wednesday night, and I looked at him and said, man, I can't believe we're here. Just to be in the body, you know. Now, that's not good enough, because, you know, but just to be at the, we're to be at the banquet, you know.
Right.
It's so exciting.
Yeah. And I think as you grow, then what do? You find your part. You find out what parts you really are and what your role is that God has given you. And again, keep in mind that that's different for everybody. You know, you mentioned Holloway. One of the things that I so love about him is one of the things he loves to do is to read scripture for worship. I mean, he's right. We're talking about we're getting everybody together, and it's like, okay, who wants to read scripture? I will. You know, he loves to come up here and read scripture. He'll do some other things, help out in other ways, but he loves to read scripture. See? And I think that's one of the things that, you know, he's recognized as a part that God has given to him. He does a great job, by the way, of cutting the grass around here and keeping it looking good. You see, that's another part that he serves in the body. Right? And so, you know, looking at that example, though, we might tend to look at it and go, well, you know, let's just say it was two different people. You know, we might put more value on the one who's reading scripture during worship than we do on the one who's cutting the grass. And no, they're both just as valuable, okay? And by the way, his reading scripture is just as valuable as me getting up and preaching. I'm not more valuable because I preach than he is because he just reads scripture, all right? We all are valuable to building up the body if we're doing our part, okay? So that's the key. We need to be making sure that we're doing our part. Judy, finish us up here.
Well, we were talking about this in our ladies' class on Friday, and, you know, it's not really that difficult to find out what talent you have that you can use to serve God. It may be something that you're already doing.
Exactly.
Use that talent for the church, for Christ. And like I mean, you may be good at gabbing on the telephone. Use that gift. You know, for the people maybe that are sick or can't get out, or you may be loving to write cards. Use that gift, and you know, nothing is too small or too large.
That's right.
To serve the Lord with, and it shouldn't be that difficult to find that gift that you can use to edify the body.
Exactly. And one last thing along that line is that we have to understand, and we have to help everyone to understand, that there are no non-participating memberships in the Lord's church. Okay? You know, there's that God has given everybody something to do, and he expects everybody to do what he's given them to do. All right? thank you. Next week, we're going to start looking at the next section, talks about how we're supposed to be living our lives. In view of all the things that Paul's been saying up to this point, how are we supposed to be as individuals and as a church? Okay? Thank God.